Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, chronicling the pro wrestling industry since 1987. Also editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, where just 2 hours ago, news broke of who Anderson Silva's next opponent will be. UFC making the announcement. We've got that story up along with plenty of other exclusive features and the news stories over at our sister site, MMATorch.com. You can also hear me here at PW Torch Livecast. I host Monday through Thursday, Monday right after Raw, Tuesday, like tonight, right after SmackDown, Wednesdays, the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific time. Jason Powell joins me tomorrow on the Livecast, Wednesday at 1 Eastern, and we will talk about all events in pro wrestling here in WrestleMania season, not just WWE, also TNA, ROH, and more. Join us then. If you can't join us live, you're always invited for any show to email ahead of time, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. I host Interview Thursday, every Thursday at 1 Eastern. And if you missed any recent interviews I've done, you are invited to tune in or visit pwtorchlivecast.com. Or scroll down on our RSS feed if you're subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other popular podcast apps. My favorite on my Android device is Beyond Pod. And last week's interview was Jim Ross. Jim Ross joined me for an hour and a half. Really good conversation with Jim. The week before that, new Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page joined me live. The week before that, Disco Inferno. And the week before that, former creative team member with WWE, Matt McCarthy, one of our top-rated guests on the program. People always react positively when Matt's on, providing insight into his days in WWE. Really interesting behind-the-scenes Randy Orton story, plus his thoughts on today's wrestling scene. Drew Galloway, Steve Austin, former WWE creative team member Kevin Eck, and Matt Morgan round out the live interviews we have done so far in 2017. And then Thursday nights after TNA Impact, Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek have you covered with a live call-in show with their analysis reacting to the just completed edition of Impact that airs on Pop TV in the United States, along with some trivia, some history, and much more. Check it out every Thursday. It's a new show this year. They're building an audience, building momentum, callers added every week. Be part of that group. When you finish watching Impact, go to pwtorchlivecast.com to stream the show live and participate. And then Fridays, it's Bruce Mitchell with the end-of-week Friday primetime edition. He and Rich Fan will be by at 7 o'clock Eastern on Friday night. They actually had a special Saturday show instead of a Friday night show this past weekend. That is available also on our podcast feed. Well, SmackDown just wrapped up. It is Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. And we don't know what Shane McMahon said. So we're hoping to hear from somebody in the building who can tell us what Shane McMahon had to say. Boy, I have a lot to say about this show. I didn't like the show, but I'm curious to hear what all of you think. So our phone number, the phone lines are already filling up. A lot of you want to talk about this, but you can get in line on the phone banks, 515-605-9345. By the way, yesterday, Pat McNeil joined me for the Raw post show. We did about an hour and a half conversation about an eventful Raw. Definitely a good show worth checking out if you haven't heard it yet. The main thrust of today's show was AJ Styles beating up Shane McMahon, throwing him through a car window. One of the dumbest things I've ever seen on WWE TV happen next. We've seen it before with WWE, but only in the context, I shouldn't say only, I mean, I don't have a memory for every single time they've done something equally or nearly as stupid as this, but they actually had a camera inside the car showing Shane McMahon's head going through the windshield. I mean, there's no other form of entertainment in this world at any kind of professional level, that's so amateur hour in Bush League. They don't get the narrative structure of their own frickin' program. What's the camera doing there? The show is filmed like there are cameramen roving around. As JBL said, our cameramen are following AJ around. They acknowledge cameramen. So this show's narrative structure is we have people roaming around, set up in the building, set up in the Arena Bowl, aimed at the ring, but also wandering around filming things as they happen. That's the narrative structure. It's not like a movie where nobody acknowledges the cameras. So what's the camera doing in that car? Did AJ like set up a camera in there and he planned to throw Shane McMahon's head through it? I'd actually sleep better at night if AJ Styles would put on Twitter, yeah, I plan to put Shane's head through the windshield of my car. That's why I put that camera in there to show people the devastation. Then I'd withdraw this rant. But short of that, there's no explanation. Nobody in WWE even thinks twice. Oh, it'll be a cool shot of Shane's head going through the window. Let's put a camera in there. I mean, it's seriously, it's just so dumb. It takes you out of the moment. Because you're thinking, how did they know? Why did they put a camera in there? How do they know what Styles is going to do? It reminds people that what they just saw, and yes, deep down they know it, but it's not in the midst of a show. You don't remind people that dinosaurs in Jurassic Park aren't real and the spaceships in Star Wars are all special effects. You don't remind them during the actual experience of watching a program that what you're watching isn't authentic. It takes you, it's a phrase, it's a common phrase. It takes you out of the moment. And that's what they did. They took everybody out of the moment because for that second they thought, wait. Why was there a camera in there? Oh, that's right. AJ was scripted and planned. It was all planned. They knew exactly what they were going to do. So it takes you out of the moment as you're supposed to be thinking, maybe if you do your job, you can get a few fans out there to go, God, did AJ go too far? Is AJ really, really upset? Did he go too far? You know, was that part planned or did AJ get too enthusiastic? Like, you want people to wonder that. That's why they're going to all this work to introduce real life stuff into the Miz John Cena angle. They want people to go, oh, God, I wonder if Cena's going to react to that. I wonder if what Maryse said about Nikki tonight, keeping her off of Total Divas, is true. I wonder if that's a real reason she left initially, and I wonder if there is real jealousy there. Like, they want you to think some of this stuff is real, and then they do that. It doesn't add enough. It's a cool camera shot. But you know what was more cool? The initial camera shot. Seeing Shane's head go through the windshield in HD with a cameraman who we had an explanation for his presence. So just, I honestly don't have adjectives to describe how just absolutely stupid it is. I hate watching something that I've watched decades. I'm a fan of pro wrestling and I see something just so, I'm trying to edit my outrage, and it's like this little thing in a way, but it's such a big thing because it exposes how the people in charge of WWE making these decisions don't get it. They work so hard on one side to make something seem like it might be real, and then they do that. But maybe I missed something. Maybe I'm not saying I'm overreacting if I didn't miss something, but maybe I don't know. I can't imagine. So anyway, there's that. And I did not like the Randy Orton segment at all. I mean, yawn. What was the point of all of that? I mean, really, I wrote this on pwtorch.com. You can follow along my thoughts on the show as the show airs. When the show is over, the whole report is up and available. And I said, this is what I wrote in my report on pwtorch.com. Sorry, but all this nonsense doesn't add up to anything that fits within the WWE world. Why are we supposed to care what Randy did if A, he never explained his motivation for doing it in the first place. Why was he obsessed with infiltrating Bray? And B, if Bray is going to say what Randy did only made him stronger, which is what Bray said, by the way, on the big screen after Randy's promo, yeah, nice try. But, you know, the thing that made me cry in agony and disappear last week actually made me stronger. I'm rubbing her ashes all over me, and now I'm more powerful. Ha, joke's on you. And then C, if Randy's response to that is standing in the ring without any sort of facial reaction, just watching it like he was watching a commercial break, waiting for the commercial to end. He was waiting for that 10 seconds or 5 seconds you have on YouTube before he can click skip this ad. That's the expression that I have when I'm doing that. That's the expression Randy had. I mean, what was the point of all that? They traveled far and landed nowhere other than having a couple cool campy, depending on your perspective, segments with spooky images and words. And the WWE Championship doesn't even factor into this. What? Why? Why did they make Bray, who's never expressed that he wants the championship, why did they give him a championship? AJ could be the champion right now. He could be defending it against Shinsuke Nakamura or Dean Ambrose. I don't care. Pick somebody out. Samoa Joe. Finn Balor could have jumped or been traded. He could be defending against Jack Swagger. I'd rather see that than Mr. Macho Shane McMahon. My God, it's like Eric Embry booking Dallas. The Dallas world-class USWA territory. Well, I mean, granted, Shane's at, I don't know if they're similar in age when Eric Embry, I think Eric looked older but was younger. Eric Embry took over the USWA in their dying days, and it was just like the most self-indulgent booking you'd ever see. I mean, he booked himself like Brock Lesnar, but he makes, I'm trying to think of a physical comparison. I don't know, who's the guy from New Orleans on Tough Enough? I'm drawing a blank on his name. I mean, he was just sloppy, out of shape guy who wasn't very good. And he booked himself like he was, you know, Undertaker combined with Brock Lesnar. I mean, it was just with Conor McGregor thrown in. I mean, Shane's doing a Conor McGregor act. I'm badass. I don't need a hospital. Just over the top. And by the way, AJ Styles promo at the top of the show, he spoke the truth. How are we supposed to be mad at AJ when he speaks the truth? He's the best wrestler in 2016. So we're supposed to be mad at AJ for beating up Shane McMahon? Why should we care? Shane McMahon just went toe-to-toe a year ago with Undertaker. I mean, they're acting like Shane McMahon or that AJ Styles beat up Renee Young or Linda McMahon or one of Shane's kids. He beat up Shane McMahon who went to war with Undertaker and lived to tell about it and put up a fight. In a ridiculous display of nonsense, he went toe-to-toe with Kurt Angle back in the day, an Olympic gold medalist. And the son of the promoter went bonkers. The son of the promoter went absolutely nuts, battling Kurt Angle. And so now we're supposed to be all up in arms and outraged with AJ Styles throw Shane through a windshield and he is walking around backstage a little doozy. I hit my head on the hatchback roof of my SUV a couple days ago. I went down. Bump. I've still got a bump on my forehead from it. Maybe that's why I'm on a rant tonight. Although it was 2 days ago and I wasn't filled with rants on Monday. I hit my head, but I didn't film it and put it on YouTube and go, look at me, I'm a hero. I walked into my own car and collapsed and bled and have a giant contusion. But I still live to tell about it. I don't know. The whole thing is just over the top and corny. It's Shane McMahon. Why are we really supposed to feel like this is some? It's just the whole show is irritating. Whatever used to be good. And then they put American Alpha and the Usos out there and insult them and what they could be bringing to the table by not hyping the match ahead of time. And then just having it there as a backdrop for the split screen of Shane limping around backstage, wandering around as Fit Finlay and Jamie Noble tell him, go to the hospital. And Shane's too cool to do that. He's going to turn around and walk onto the stage. It's just an irritating show. The best thing about it was probably Baron Corbin's promo. You know, I knock people down, and if he gets back up and comes at WrestleMania, I'll put him down for good. So, anyway, there's where I stand. Let's call me up. Let's talk about this. Talk me off the ledge. It was an interesting show. We got a lot to talk about, but, oh. Anyway, all right, let's go to a break, and when we come back, your turn to talk. All right. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back. By the way, that would have been funny footage if it was out there of me walking into the open back of my SUV and going down. I was chasing after my dog. I went boom, right into it. anyway, all right, let's go to the let's Let's go to the phone line. So number 515-605-9345. That's the number. Give us a call. Let's go to our first caller today, and let's make it Jordan from New Rochelle, New York. Jordan, thanks for calling. What have you got for me tonight?
Hey, what's up, Wade? I agree with you 100% about the camera angle stuff. Oh, my gosh. Like, really, like, you have a camera perfectly aimed right towards the window. Makes no sense whatsoever. I was thinking, wow, WWE actually did a good scene, and then they want to bring this camera angle, and it's just so stupid. I just, like you were saying, yeah, they explained the camera men are around AJ, he's waiting for Shane, and you have this dumb camera angle inside the car. I feel like that just killed my whole night. I think that just killed SmackDown for me. I mean, it just makes no sense, but I guess I had a question about what happened later on in the night with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. So apparently Bryan fires AJ Styles. I thought what WWE should have done was not had Shane come out at the end, but maybe what you should have had was maybe you see AJ Styles on Raw and he is saying, oh, and he goes after maybe one of the titles, and then you have Stephanie saying, oh, you beat up my brother or something like that, and they welcome him with open arms. And then you have the following week, Daniel Bryan and them say, oh, he's still under contract, and you can do maybe which show he's going to fight for. I thought they could have done so much more, maybe play off the angle of he just got fired and he's like a free agent, because technically you have two people, Daniel Bryan saying he's fired, but then you have Shane McMahon saying, oh, I'm going to fight him at WrestleMania. So do you see them clearing that up on maybe Monday Night Raw or next week's SmackDown? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was sloppy. I mean, for Daniel Bryan to, you know, AJ says, what, are you going to fire me? And Daniel says, yeah, I'm going to. Get out. I mean, he didn't say you're fired, but it almost came across like...
It's implied.
It was implied. It came across like maybe he's saying, if you don't leave right now, you're fired or something like that. It was sloppy wording. They should have been more clear about it. I don't think you complicate what could have been cleaned up with Daniel Bryan going, you're fired if you don't get out of here. There's going to be ramifications for what you did. Like, he could have just cleaned up the wording. That makes more sense than complicating Raw and diminishing SmackDown by having AJ, you know, show up on Raw and have some sort of bidding war. Basically, what I'm saying is, I'm against AJ being fired over this. And I don't think they should turn it into a big angle with only two shows to go between now and Mania. But yeah, I mean, if he gets fired, of course he should go to Raw. Of course Stephanie should welcome him with open arms and snicker at her brother and Daniel Bryan for letting go of their best talent. But the last thing SmackDown needs right now is one last top guy. But I get what you're saying. I mean, we just want things to make sense. Why can't they just brain it in a little bit and have this stuff make sense? Because it makes for a more enjoyable show.
Yeah. I love the reference you made to Jurassic Park. Like, obviously, we know that they're not real dinosaurs, but to a little kid or to maybe a young, like a little kid, they think, oh, wow, this could be real. Or to a person watching this, they could think, oh, maybe AJ got too excited and something went wrong, or like he botched something. But then you have, oh, no, he's perfectly fine because they have a camera in the car. And I don't know what cars you've driven, but the cars I've been in, there's no cameras in the back, perfectly angled towards the window. I thought that just killed me. Like, I thought SmackDown was a good show, but that just killed me. But I think from what I've been told and what I hear on other podcasts, nobody wants to see AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. I thought what could have been amazing is maybe you push back what happened on Raw to next week, and you have Triple H beating up Seth Rollins, and then out of nowhere, AJ Styles comes out and he beats up Triple H, and then you have AJ Styles versus Triple H, or maybe even against Samoa Joe, and then you have Seth Rollins versus Triple H. I thought you could have, I think they could have played off of, oh, you're fired, a little bit more. I think it'd be more interesting than Shane McMahon and AJ Styles.
Hey, you don't have to push hard for me when it comes to something that would be better than AJ against Shane. Jordan, thanks for your call. I want to get to other callers today too. Appreciate it. You talked about that. Any other big thumbs up or thumbs down on the show? Just real quick before we go. Okay, I think you hung up. All right, cool. All right, let's go next to Aaron from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Wade, what's going on? What's up, listeners? Great promo, by the way, to start the show off, man. You really cut an awesome promo. And thanks for ruining Jurassic Park, too. I was really assuming that they were real dinosaurs.
I should have put a spoiler. Hey, I haven't had a rant in a while, but those are pretty frequent on the Wade Keller hotline. So go VIP if you want to hear me react to stuff, you know, with a little more vitriol than I usually do here on the live cast. We're trying to, you know, be a little more level and even.
Yeah, man,
but go ahead.
That was great. And I agree with you 100%. Yeah. A couple of takeaways. I liked the two announcers. I definitely enjoyed only having two announcers, only having two voices.
Yeah.
I thought Tom Phillips did a pretty decent job tonight. But I don't know if JBL remembers that he's a heel or not. I'm not sure if he forgot.
He
or if
never remembers.
That.
That's another thing that's irritating about WWE is they're too high. Yeah. They've taken things to another level. The whole thing about having a constitution that guides in principles that guides how you react to things. Oh, that's so simple. That's so simpleton. We're sports entertainment where you never know what anyone's going to say. It's totally unpredictable. And that makes us more sophisticated because there might be something in January that JBL's really offended by, but something very similar to it in March, he'll think is pretty cool. And there'll be no explanation for why he's changed his position. I mean, that's what they do with JBL. It's not sophisticated. They think they're sophisticated because they're not following the same guidelines of, you know, there's a heel guy who's predictably negative, you know, who's predictably cheering on the heels and excusing heel actions. And then you have the babyface announcer who's always goody two shoes and walking the line of the rules. And they think that's passe as opposed to how most people are. Most of us have a constitution. We have values that guide our actions. And we don't always, obviously, we don't agree because we don't all vote for the same people. We don't all choose to live our lives the same way, but we're pretty consistent in what causes us to react positively or negatively to something that we see in our lives. And in WWE announcing, they're too clever for that. They're too clever for that. So yeah, I did like the two-man announce team. It's in a good format. I mean, I get what Michael Cole has said in an interview about, you know, it lets him announce when he's got a third guy who's kind of like Byron Saxton, who's standing up to heel comments from Corey Graves. I'm not as against the three-man booth as maybe I am the four-man booth, but yeah, I mean, Morrow having travel difficulties because of the storms out there, and now and David Otunga being off because of filming a movie, it gave us a chance to hear a two-man booth. Although there was very, very little wrestling on the show, so yeah. It would have been kind of a waste of time anyway for the announcers to be there to have more announcers. I mean, there just wasn't very much wrestling in that 2 hours.
I think it was just the most like poorly booked show I've seen in a long time. There was no announced main event. But like you said about the heels, you know, after the AJ Styles thing, they cut to the locker room, and the Usos are telling him, why would you do that? They're heels. If I recall, they purposely tried to injure American Alpha not too long ago, and then they end the show with them coming out trying to look like heels again. It totally took away from their characters.
I know. I wrote that in my report. On the website,
yeah,
you know, I mean, what? Because they're trying to make it seem like even the Usos, for all the dastardly things they did, beating up Shane McMahon, a non-wrestling executive, is crossing some line, and we should all be worked up about it. It's lousy booking.
Even when Daniel Bryan said that you were fired or however he worded it, you heard the crowd in the background boo. I don't know if you picked up on that, but when he said that, you can clearly hear the crowd react in a negative manner. So whatever they were trying to do, it got the opposite. I almost felt like AJ came off as like a Stone Cold type character, like going against the authority, and now he's going to be a badass heel that everybody likes. It's making the face turn even more inevitable. But one more thing, I'll let you get to other callers. Is SmackDown's goal every week to not get Dolph Ziggler over? Because that character, my God, every week they beat it in the ground. I've called a bunch of times to talk about Dolph Ziggler, but I mean, it feels like everything they do just makes his character worse. And I don't even know how it's possible, but they've done
it. I know. It almost does seem like an ongoing practical joke on Ziggler. I mean, they can't sincerely be trying to get him over, can they?
No, there's no way. I don't know what they're trying to do to the guy. I don't know.
I don't either. Thanks, Aaron.
That's all I got for you, though, tonight, man. It wasn't really a great show. Probably the worst show they've done since the brand split. Really, it was just a head-scratching show. I don't think I've ever remembered a show where they didn't announce a main event and ended it with a match, like you said, with two good teams that have a lot to offer, where they cut away half the match, and it wasn't even a good match to begin with, and you couldn't pay attention to it anyway with what was going on. But that's all I got. Have a good night. Good night, Colin.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Aaron. You bet. All right, let's go to Dan in Brooklyn, New York. Dan, you're up next.
Hey, Wade, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, man. I agree with a lot of the stuff you said, and I just have a couple of quick points I'd love to hear your opinion on.
Sure. Yeah.
Man, the first thing for me is that right now, Wade, we are in the era of fast-forward wrestling, and that's kind of how I watch it after 30 years of being a loyal fan. And if there was one saving grace that would keep wrestling tied together for me right now, it would be prestige of the championships. But there is none of that. And as you mentioned earlier before with Bray Wyatt, not even mentioning how important the world title is to him, it's not even a centerpiece for this feud with Randy Orton. I wanted to get your take on this proposition. We've heard things like Triple H and Hulk Hogan and even John Cena to some extent. You know, they didn't always want to do business or do the job. Like Stone Cold didn't want a job to Brock Lesnar at one point in his career. Do you think, Wade, if the guys today had a set on them and cared about their character and cared about kayfabe just a little bit, maybe some of these guys wouldn't be dropping the title like so quick? AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens. It doesn't even feel like they've arrived, and some of them have multiple championship reigns. And I ask you that, Wade, because I know what happened with CM Punk when he cared about his character and cared about wins and losses. What's your take on that? And do you think the era of prestige in the championships in WWE is just gone? They're an accessory at this point?
Yeah, when you create a universe where you have a championship title on the line that you want a Royal Rumble to get, and you've had this whole storyline, twists and turns with everything AJ chronicled at the beginning in his opening promo at the top of the show, and it adds up to nothing. The Bray Randy match, yes, Bray wears the championship, but he doesn't talk about it. Randy didn't talk about the championship in this promo, and it's WrestleMania. What you do is make people care. I mean, the championship doesn't get injured. It doesn't age out. It is always there. And if you make that what everybody's fighting for, that can be more important than this silliness, this hocus pocus, spooky, rubbing ashes all over your body type stuff. Just draw people into the world of a championship counting. I don't think just the frequency of title changes in and of itself, by definition, is a sign that there's not kayfabe or they don't care. You can have rapid fire title changes in MMA, in UFC, and they're part of a real sporting environment, and it really counts. You have multiple divisions in UFC. Sometimes somebody holds a championship for a long time and actually defends it, unlike Conor McGregor, and builds up a long-term reign. And then you can have other fighters or other divisions, like the heavyweight for a while and the light heavyweight for a while, where there's the champions just change all the time. I can live with that if every single title change is done for the right reason, not as a means to get something else accomplished that leads to the diminishing of the value of the title. And that's what they did here. I mean, the Universal title could be adding to a match, and instead it just feels like it's this prop getting in the way of Randy and Bray, or basically being ignored. I mean, I'm kind of flabbergasted at the fact that Bray never said that. Like, Bray could have said, winning the championship gives me more power. He's in WWE. He's there for a reason. Why is he there? Well, tell a story that winning the championship gives him power over this whole universe that is WWE, and more people will listen to him, and he'll have more followers, and he can be obsessed with power, and the championship gives him more power to spread this creepy philosophy that he has. But they don't do that. Randy could have cut a promo saying, you know, Bray, I know how much that championship meant to you. You talk about it all the time, about how you want to win it because it'll give you more power, and you think you'll have more followers, and you'll be more immortal. And I'm going to take that belt away from you. And I know that will, that you might say, well, you can rub ashes all over you. But yeah, now I've got my title match back. I earned it last week against AJ Styles. AJ, stop whining. And at WrestleMania, if people think you freaked out when I burned down your compound, wait till they see how you react when I take a championship belt away from you. Randy can tell that story, and then we care about the outcome of the match. Why do we care about the outcome of the match? We don't even know Randy's motivation for doing what he did in the first place. This month after month after month journey that he went on, doing some pretty terrible things along the way, he didn't even explain why. I mean, it's just a bunch of bad writing and memorized lines with nothing behind it. It's frustrating.
And Wayne, I have one more quick question for you. I know you're
sure.
on fire. Yep. You're doing a great job. Just one other thing to just get your opinion on. I remember years ago in an interview, and I can't believe I remember this, and I have to give credit to him. Matt Hardy said, probably about 15 years ago, we're going to get to a point in time in wrestling where there will no longer be baby faces and heels. It'll just be big personality versus big personality. And I know you hate that, Wade, and I hate that too, because the crowd doesn't know what the heck to do. They don't know who to cheer for or who to boo for, and sometimes that creates a terrible dynamic for a pro wrestling match. But my question to you, Wade, is years ago, heels, they would denounce the crowd. You're fat. You're ugly. You want to be me. You'll never be like me. Nowadays, the heels don't do that. They do things that are cool.
Miz does, and that's why he's working.
Yes. Miz does. You're absolutely right. Kevin Owens is cool. AJ Styles is cool. And it's like they don't get the rub on the baby face because they're not villain enough to be hated. What do you think of that?
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I don't know if Matt Hardy was endorsing what he said that might happen someday or not. If he was an advocate for that or not, my tendency is to think probably not. I think he's pretty fundamentally strong in terms of understanding that it's very natural for you to care more about a sporting event when you're rooting for one team to win and one team to lose. I mean, that's what gets people into sports. And in UFC, there's going to be fights where you don't like either guy or you like both guys, but you're watching because it's epic. It's a battle of two legends. It's going to, you know, it's historically significant. The title is on the line and the championship is what everybody fights for. UFC's starting, by the way, to lose some of that themselves by having, you know, title fights with people who have been away for years, like GSP, and not giving title shots to the people who are the top contenders, but having, you know, making the matchmaking around what Matt Hardy said, two big personalities fighting each other. But getting back to wrestling, like Mickey James and Alexa Bliss, that I didn't even get to that. What was that? they spend all this time building up this partnership between them. They have a misunderstanding last week, or maybe Mickey never was on her side, whatever. There's too many people who have been pretending to be people's friends who are turning on them. There's way too much of that going on, and we get no follow-up, but they give away Bliss and Mickey here in like a short match with a commercial break in the middle, and then they move on. They could have gotten so much more out of that, but, well, we got to get all the women on the WrestleMania match, so now let's do the most lazy booking possible, which is just have a bunch of women hitting each other just everybody's against everybody, and, oh, that'll draw money. No, having a one-on-one match while all the other women sit in the skybox going, what do I need to do next year to earn my shot, to earn my chance to be on the WrestleMania card, while two people battle it out one-on-one for the championship, that means more than giving everybody the chance to be on WrestleMania. So now I got Mickey against Bliss. The crowd didn't react because they didn't know how to react. They don't know who they're supposed to like or dislike here. I mean, it's just this was a terrible, terrible chapter in the build of WrestleMania and a bad episode of SmackDown. But yeah, they need to, heels need to go back to, the thing is that Stephanie does a good job. Problem is she doesn't wrestle. She doesn't sell. She doesn't lose. The baby faces don't get, she doesn't get her comeuppance, but Stephanie does all those things that you talk about. So, you know, it's still there, but the timeless fundamental of casting a wrestler who you want to see win against a wrestler who you have booked effectively enough and cast correctly that fans want to see them lose, and then giving fans the joy of seeing the person they want to see win beat the person they want to see lose, or be frustrated by the fact that it goes the other way and angry about it, and then having announcers who don't shrug it off and go, well, you know, the heel did what he's got to do to get ahead. Like, how does that get heat on the heels when the announcers are justifying their actions, going, you'd be foolish not to, I mean, the whole ethic of WWE is do what you got to do to get people's attention and to get ahead. Well, why are we supposed to be upset at what AJ did to Shane on any level when the announcers are constantly telling us just do what you got to do to get attention? It's all about, you know, it's all about getting the spotlight on you. So it's just a mess.
All right. Yeah. And they don't exactly position Brock Lesnar to get booed and Goldberg to get cheered, but that's another show for another night. But thank you, Wade. I appreciate
Thanks,
the insight.
Ed. Absolutely, thanks. Appreciate the conversation. Well, and Brock and Goldberg, I think there are exceptions that are fine. I mean, Goldberg and Brock is this rematch from this awful match in history, but it's two big stars, you know, who have taken different paths, and sometimes it's okay at a big show to have this special attraction match where you're not, you know, playing by the typical rules, but it should be the exception. If that's how everything becomes or most things become, you've made everything harder for you. Goldberg Lesnar, I mean, I'd rather have Lesnar be a heel and have Heyman try to get people to dislike him. I'm not quite sure what the point of the promo was last night. It was just, you know, Paul being Paul and trying to build up a match, but I don't really know what the point was. I mean, they're creating the sense of you got to be here to see what happens, because Brock thinks he's got Goldberg's number now, but Goldberg we've seen has Brock's number. But that's enough, because it's freaking Brock and Goldberg. But guess what? You don't have month after month, pay-per-view after pay-per-view, match after match. You don't have Brock and Goldberg all the time. That's where the heel babyface thing is this gift. Use it. All right, we'll be back after this. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, I am back. I'm Wade Keller, hosting the post-SmackDown edition of the PW Torch livecast. Tomorrow, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joins me. He's on the show just about every 3 weeks, and should be a good show tomorrow. If you're listening to us live here at 10:40 Eastern, give us a call, 515-605-9345. I'll try to get to as many calls as I can in today's program. I got some emails coming in, too. Before the show started, we had where did it go? I'm looking through too many emails. Oh, anyway, here's a email from Andrew from Des Moines, Iowa. He goes, the angle where AJ jumped Shane was perfect until the replay showed the camera angle from inside the car where Shane's head went through the glass. Come on, man. That killed the realism for me. You know, I mean, it did. It's just annoying. Let's see, another email. Wow, I did not see the AJ Shane feud escalating so quickly like that. But what's next since Daniel Bryan fired him? Right, why complicate things with that? Sean B, following tonight's events, how do you see AJ accepting Shane's challenge? What's in it for him? Or does he show up on Raw? Well, I mean, he could show up on Raw. But I don't think that helps to do that. I mean, I just don't think. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we can judge. I mean, there might be a chapter of this that works and makes sense. I mean, I don't have faith after tonight's show. But I mean, come on. Why would you firing AJ because the guy who went toe to toe with Undertaker last year got a cut on his head? I mean, Baron Corbin's walking around. He tried to crush Dean Ambrose. He hospitalized him with a forklift. And it's like, what's the difference? I mean, I don't know if I'd rather be crushed by a forklift or have my head go through a windshield, but I don't think they're worlds apart. And, you know, Dean Ambrose took on Brock Lesnar last year. Shane McMahon went toe to toe with Undertaker last year. Big deal. Why is Shane's not a quote wrestler, but yeah, he is. I mean, in the WWE pretend world, he's a badass. So it's just not consistent. Doesn't make sense. All right. Let's go to Marcus in OKC. Marcus, thanks for calling. What have you got for me?
Hey, you seem to be forgetting something.
Tell me, what am I forgetting?
He's a McMahon.
Right, exactly. That does explain everything. Yes.
It explains the world away right there.
Yeah.
I have to say something when it comes to the whole segment that took place between Shane and AJ. I loved it. I had no problems with it. I thought it was amazing. But then I turn on, you know, the live cast tonight, and I realized maybe I should have hated it. but I'm lucky because I missed the camera angle.
Oh,
I actually got up to get a drink.
Yep.
I got up to get a drink during the replay, and I missed the whole problem. So it made it perfect.
No, that's the thing. Let me say this. AJ waiting for Shane to arrive, and then Shane arriving, and AJ beating him up because he's angry was cool. Now, AJ's the babyface. He's stone cold. You know, Shane is the doofus who won't give AJ the match that he so clearly earned. And yes, Shane was in favor of AJ last week. And Daniel Bryan was the one making the case for Randy. But this makes both Shane and Bryan just out to be buffoons. Randy gave up the match. You should have to give up the match. Don't give it back to him. AJ, you know, I mean, it's,
of course
AJ's mad. What I didn't like, by the way, is in the camera shot, they had two guys standing there when AJ attacked Shane. And those guys were acting like they were not privy to the fact that AJ had been hanging out there for 35 minutes waiting for Shane to arrive and vowed to do, you know, and Renee Young said, you know, people are concerned, AJ, what are you going to do when Shane shows up? And then you got two guys who are just sitting there completely oblivious to it. Like, they had no idea that as Shane got out of the car and decided to have some, you know, whisper some sweet nothings to his rental car or something before AJ tackled him. Like, even that was a little irritating. I mean, but I think you can look past it. In the sense of two guys were just, I guess, minding their own business. But even that, I was like, oh God, okay. Well, they recovered from it with a good brawl. But yeah, if you missed the camera angle in the car, I can understand not being as irritated.
Part of me would think that those guys standing around, because I actually thought of that too. Why are these random guys just standing there and then doing nothing? It's kind of part of me just wrote it off in my head as, oh, Vince put them there on purpose just so he could hear us complain about it on the live cast later.
I'm not quite that much the center of the universe that I think Vince would place two people just, you know, do anything just to irritate me. I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I mean, what does it say about WWE's product that Marcus, that you think they would, that's actually one of the reasons they do dumb things is just to irritate people. If you watch, you know, bring it to the table. I mean, obviously they're aware of this stuff and they're irritated by it and they like to vent about it.
Right.
So no. Yeah.
Bring it to the table. Talk about that. Oh my Lord. It drives me crazy. The first episode of it that I remember watching, I'm sitting there I couldn't even sit through it because it's all right. Here's what, you know, hardcore fans that actually pay attention to the product and know what's going on say, let's start writing off everything that they have to say. It annoyed me to that end, and it just kind of reiterated all the problems that we have. And really, a lot of it comes down to consistency. What's the word I try to use? It's the reason no one likes Roman. Just the nature. Nothing comes naturally for him.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's like everything seems forced. Everything seems inconsistent, and tonight's episode of SmackDown is a prime example of those inconsistencies.
They're making it harder than they have to. I mean, if you have,
they really are.
If you don't have, you know, I mean, I kind of like Gallows, you know, with having his new thing where he calls everybody nerds. Like, I mean, it's fine. But the thing is that's actually kind of how WWE feels about acting like championships are important. That if you think a championship title is important, you're a nerd. Mauro Ranallo's a nerd because he wants to call wrestling like it's MMA, not getting that the reason people love Walking Dead is because when the show was out, well, some people hate Walking Dead for a lot of reasons we're talking about on tonight's show because it's a flawed execution of the concept. But the reason it's popular and the reason it's lasted as long as it has and works, despite its flaws in some of the storytelling and writing, is that everybody from the beginning to the end of the show acts like zombies are real, and they will eat you and kill you, and you'll turn into one. So WWE just needs to, with a straight face, not be ashamed to admit, or not be ashamed to portray, that the championship is why we're all here. Everybody in WWE, everybody in the back who are wrestlers, they want to become champion. And everybody in the stands are here to watch and find out who the best wrestler is. And if you tell that story consistently with a straight face, you can get people to care. The same way we care about the Stanley Cup and who's going to skate around with this giant trophy with a bunch of names etched on it. It doesn't really make a difference in the scheme of things in the world, but we get pretty wrapped up in it because the NHL storyline is, this is why we're all here. And pro wrestling has a chance to do that and embrace it. And then they don't have to do all this goofy stuff with cameras inside cars and spreading ashes all over yourself and the hocus pocus stuff. Just keep it simpler. Make us care about the Usos and American Alpha. I mean, you can actually do that. You can put all this energy towards making people care about championships and what happens in the ring, and that outcomes matter. And it's a lot easier, and it works. No, I mean, they just sold out MSG over the weekend, and that's not a given that that happens. And they're having big revenue months. I mean, this is not a company on the brink, but what's frustrating is they make things harder for themselves than they have to. And I think with the resources that they have and how big a part of culture pro wrestling has become in this country and in this world, they could be doing so much better if there were just a few things they cleaned up. Some of these are just straighten your tie moments, and others are bigger than that.
Yeah, I had a really good point earlier. One of the earlier callers that had called, I had a really good point about titles being, you know, bigger than they are, and I've completely forgot it now. But the worst part I feel about this Mania so far is that I honestly, I mean, you could have told me these are the championship matches we would have had going into it, and I'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's possible, but they're going to have to use every week of these, you know, 6, 8, 10, whatever, how many weeks to get that story, because, and it's possible, but they really need to build the story around it. Whereas there were a couple other choices that I'm like, oh yeah, definitely. I could easily see that. It wouldn't take a whole lot, and I'd be down to see it. And I love how they chose the hard road and have failed at it dramatically. You know, last week I was excited for Orton Bray more than I have been since Rumble, because, I mean, we all pretty much knew it from that point. And this week they made me not so excited for it anymore. And it just, why is it not about the title? Why is it about some nonsense that, you know,
yeah, I know.
No one cared about until, oh Lord. If it wasn't going to be about the title, they could have had this match without the title, given the title to AJ and have him go against a number of people besides a McMahon.
Yep.
If I ever see a McMahon in the mat, I will be happy again.
I'm with you. Unless Shane's kids or Hunter and Steph's daughters turn out to be, you know, Charlotte or AJ Styles, then bring them on. You know, bring them on.
Right.
Yeah.
But I could do without any authority figures in there, yes, except for maybe Triple H, because, well, he's an actual wrestler.
We do have breaking news, though. Austin Aries just earned the shot at Neville at WrestleMania. This is not a shocking moment. It almost looked like that. Aries accidentally hit TJ Perkins with a forearm, knocked him off the ring apron in a miscue, and then Brian Kendrick hit sliced bread, and I'm like, no way. You know, I was got this on in the background as I do the show. Thankfully, Aries kicked out and went on to win. So we've got that to look forward to on WrestleMania. But, you know, we all know Shane is a star. Anyway.
unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, Marcus, appreciate the call.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not screening calls here. You know, we're not saying, oh, call in only if you agree with me, or call in, you know, if you disagree. I mean, absolutely call in, make your case. And that happens on this show. So, I mean, I just, for anybody listening going, oh, why, you know, what's the deal? It's like, this is a show, Tuesday nights, where we consistently talk about, we think SmackDown's a better show than Raw. It's got flaws. There's still some WWE-isms that drive us crazy. But it's 2 hours, it had Mauro Ranallo, it's got AJ Styles, it doesn't have New Day, it doesn't have nudist Enzo running around, flashing people, wondering what everyone's upset about. It's been the better show. And some weeks it's only okay, other weeks it's really good. This is not a show that just bashes everything WWE does. It's not. This was a bad show. And SmackDown tonight, the calls are backing that up. This is normally, when I go to phone calls, people saying SmackDown's a better show. This feels like a show that's been overtaken by a booking philosophy that is not normally the key factor in deciding what goes on SmackDown. So, all right, another break, and when we come back, more phone calls. So hold on tight, everybody. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. When I say we, I mean me, I guess. All right, here we go.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
Well, Talking Smack just started, and all we've heard is Renee Young and Daniel Bryan rave about how much they love Pittsburgh and how underrated Pittsburgh is and how they like to drive up to it. So I was hoping to get some news to convey to you during the commercial break. Is AJ fired or not? And unfortunately, I just know how much Renee and Daniel Bryan love Pittsburgh, which will please Mark Madden, who was a Pro Wrestling Torch columnist back in the early 90s, back when nobody knew who he was, and I turned him into a star, which he parlayed into jobs in pro wrestling. And Mark was going to be a star either way. I'm kidding. He's don't want him to get all worked up. He's on the live cast, by the way. Last show, I think it was the last show of 2016. First time he and I have talked one-on-one in, I don't know, decades. You can check that out at PWTorchLiveCast.com also. So now we got Renee Young finally shifting to asking Daniel Bryan about what happened at the end of the show, and they're going to go to a clip, and I'm going to see how far back they go here. Okay, now they're doing a whole recap package. So, oh, I wanted to hear. Let's see if on Talking Smack they show the inside camera, or has somebody thought better of it, and is somebody fired for doing that in the first place? So we got AJ stomping on Shane. It looks good. I mean, Shane's doing a good job taking a beating here. Falling down, AJ yanking him up by his lapels. I mean, AJ, I give it to Shane. Shane is a daredevil, and he'll take a punch and he'll slam him into the wall. He can't throw a punch, but he can take a punch. It was well done. But it's AJ. I mean, everything AJ does is good. So, yep, there we go, through the windshield. Okay, here I am. I'm sorry, but I'm waiting for this reverse, waiting for the inside car angle, camera angle. See, I want Daniel Bryan's a type who, if they show that, Daniel would on the show go, what was the camera doing in there anyway? And look at Renee and roll his eyes. Like I could see Daniel Bryan thinking that was so stupid. He can't keep his credibility and not comment on it. So maybe that's why they won't show that angle in the first place. But yeah, it's a long recap. Okay. So we got Renee and yep. So they did not show it. Okay. Just had to grind the show to a halt to see. They did not show the inside car camera angle. I'm happy about that. All right, let's go back to calls here and go to Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, so like the other caller before, I actually did not see the inside car camera angle.
Yeah.
So that kind of saved the whole segment for me. Listening to the live cast, I do have to agree. Usually SmackDown is doing way better than Raw. Tonight, not so much. I can't even say Raw was, like, really great this week either. Yeah. But, SmackDown was just not cutting it well. And I think the whole thing with Bray and Orton is just, it's kind of like what you said earlier. You almost feel like the title is in the background. Not of super important. You know, you go back to Edge and The Undertaker in 2007 when Edge cashed in. That whole feud building all the way up to WrestleMania, past WrestleMania to One Night Stand, that was all about the title. You know, nothing else yep. except for Edge screwing Taker out of the title. You fast forward 10 years, which is kind of hard to believe that it's 10 years since then, but you fast forward 10 years and all of a sudden it doesn't have the same prestige. You know, if you will, this feud between Randy and Bray, I thought they would do phenomenal with it, and it's kind of fallen flat this week. Last week with the house burning and arson on live TV, it really helped the storyline. And then this week, I feel like it just went off a cliffside. And now they're kind of waiting for their parachutes to deploy. It was kind of lackluster. And then, also with the women's title feud, I don't even really know what to make of that. On Raw, that's about the only thing that they're doing better than SmackDown, in my opinion, at least. So, yeah, that was just kind of, that was my opinion on the show tonight. It was kind of odd, and it wasn't looking like a normal SmackDown that we were used to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for WrestleMania season to end as far as SmackDown goes. If this is what we're going to get.
And also, it's like in the beginning, I was stoked because you have Elimination Chamber all the way up until WrestleMania. You have a good chunk of time to really build something spectacular out of that. Raw, obviously, I mean, they just had Fastlane, and they've made their WrestleMania builds only up to, 4 weeks or something? And so you have SmackDown, and they're building up like a 7 to 8 week feud, and you're thinking, well, yeah, man, they have a lot of time to make something really good. And it, in hindsight, yeah, you can see the connections of how it's worked in that 7 or 8 weeks or whatever. But it's just like they keep slipping up here and there, and now it feels like they're rushing their WrestleMania feuds, in my opinion, almost like Raw's. Like, Raw's WrestleMania feuds feel like they've had little to no build besides Triple H and Rollins, really, to me, and yeah. Owens and Chris. So.
Yeah, well, they got 2 more weeks to do it. I mean, I'm very focused on SmackDown right now, but tomorrow, you know, with Jason Paul, we'll definitely, Chris, what you just brought up, talk about the Raw and SmackDown, the overall WrestleMania lineup, and kind of great how this is shaping up just on its own and relative to other WrestleMania builds, you know, how this is going to work. I mean, it's different in the sense that it's, you know, if you're not a network subscriber, you can get it free. They're not asking people for $80. People who are already network subscribers are going to, you know, stick around for Mania. Obviously, it's the big show of the year. They're going to have a giant crowd in Orlando. And, you know, they don't have they have an incentive to get people to sign up for the network, but they don't have to reach that threshold of, is this worth $80 or $70 for me to watch? That threshold isn't there anymore. For the million plus people who would typically watch WrestleMania, worldwide on pay-per-view. So anyway, Chris, appreciate the comments. I mean, well said.
I actually had one more question.
Sure thing.
You know, some people listening, I think they're going to roll their eyes. I wouldn't blame them. But as far as Cena's WrestleMania status goes, do you think he'll ever be in the main event where he's going to put young talent over? I mean, he hasn't been in the main event since, 29? So, and I feel like he still has kind of the rep of putting over a young talent. But, you know, you look at what's going to be a 4-year gap now, you know, his time is, you know, kind of running slow because he's doing all these other projects.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if there was a true high profile passing of the torch. And I think Vince McMahon is saving it for Roman Reigns. I think you're going to see Cena against Roman.
No.
One of the next couple of years, you're going to see Cena Roman. It's going to be a big deal. And Cena's going to put over Roman. He's going to do the deed. And I think they're saving, in Vince McMahon's mind, he doesn't want to water down. I mean, yes, AJ lost, you know, beat Cena a couple times. I mean, Cena does do jobs, but the ones that matter the most are the ones that you really build up and have at a big show and you refer to afterwards as a historical moment. And it'd be nice for him to have a couple of those moments before, you know, he moves on to other things. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was thinking about it not too long ago, and I was thinking, yeah, man, it went from Cena's in the main event every year to when was the last time Cena was in the main event? So.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But
yeah, no, good
that's
point.
All I got.
Thanks, Chris. Yep. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's go next to Matt in Philadelphia. Matt, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Wade, how's it going tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I thought it was a lackluster SmackDown. I don't know if you've had anybody call from Pittsburgh. I don't think so. Not since I've been on the line. But seems to me to be a rough show to be live at. A lot of talking segments, not a lot of matches. And
the matches main event that they didn't make anybody care about. You know, they put a main event out there, Matt, and I felt bad for the crowd. I mean, it's a good point to make. We haven't talked about the in-person experience yet because we haven't had someone who was there. But, I mean, I was watching that main event going, how does it suck to go to a show? Who knows how long you drive? I don't, you know, bad weather, some people dealing with that. And that's the match you get with no buildup, and they're just there clearly just filling time with, you know, lackluster moves because it's all about Shane.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was thinking about that. I think when Mojo Rawley came out after, and there was a big gap in between, they were doing the AJ Shane thing, they went to a couple breaks, and then Mojo came out, and it just kind of stuck out to me, like, wow, they're, you know, they waited all this time to see a match, and now they're going to see this match, so, and then, yeah, American Alpha not being on TV for a long time, and not knowing what they're going to be doing for WrestleMania is kind of, as a main event, it's tough to sell. It's not like we haven't seen, just haven't seen them. I think they're popular, but would like to see more of them. I thought the AJ Shane segment was good. I mean, I hated the camera angle inside the TV, like everybody pretty much did. But I thought it was well done up through AJ's promo. Up through that was solid. I'm not happy with the match. I called you last week. I was talking about different matches for AJ, and unfortunately, we're getting this one. But
There's still hope, by the way. I gotta interrupt Matt. Let's stretch this out and torture ourselves. On Talking Smack, I had closed caption on. And Daniel Bryan said, I don't know if Shane, he was slurring his words, I don't know if he was in a state of mind where we can trust his decision-making judgment. I don't know if it's a good idea for him to volunteer to face AJ Styles. So there's still hope that even though Shane said AJ wants a match, he's got it, that Daniel Bryan said, I've argued with Vince McMahon, it doesn't go well, I probably won't win an argument with Shane. But Daniel Bryan's even throwing a little question mark, maybe Shane shouldn't be medically cleared to fight AJ. So if Daniel Bryan can push for the medical staff to say Shane has a concussion, he's not cleared, but and then Shane has to go find an opponent, Shane can still say, AJ, I'm not cleared and I'm mad about it, but I've got someone who's going to get revenge for me, and then cue the violin music. So I'm clinging.
Violin, yes, absolutely.
I'm clinging to it,
that.
Matt. I'm clinging to it.
You and I both. And
yes.
Just from, I know you've been down on Shane for a little while, and I know he's not as hot as he was when he first came back, but I think he's still somebody that resonates when the music hits and people are still excited to see him. I don't know why they would push this match so hard. You know, with AJ, this is going to probably turn Shane fully unpopular, probably be booed in the match when he starts to go against AJ. So I don't even understand why they want to take Shane's character and put him through that with AJ. It just seems like a lose-lose situation.
I'd rather have Shane against Baron Corbin this year. I mean, you talk about John Cena. You know, we talk about John Cena putting over young talent. AJ doesn't need to have an even Steven, four-star, wow, you know, and everyone gives Shane a big round of applause when he gets backstage, and Shane puffs his chest out. He's so proud of he got to pretend to be a wrestler for a night. And AJ carried him to this great match, and whoa, it added to the entertainment value of Mania. Instead of that, how about Shane goes in the ring, he does an angle with Baron Corbin, and goes in the ring with Baron, and puts Baron over. So Baron has what was supposed to be Bobby Lashley's moment with Donald Trump. You know, a moment where you're in a spotlight that's bigger than your star is at this point, but it elevates you. It's what happened with Shawn Michaels and WWE as a brand, and Stone Cold with Mike Tyson. You take somebody who has what you talk about. Undeniably so, Shane is a star in the eyes of the fans. He's a McMahon. People have cool feelings about him if they grew up watching him in the Attitude Era. He seems like a genuinely nice guy. Despite my picking on him, I mean, he comes across that way. So why not have him put over Baron Corbin? Have Corbin, you know, get to the point where he's doing this. He's mad he's not on WrestleMania. And, you know, they have a storyline to back it up. And Baron attacks Shane, exactly doing what AJ did tonight. And then Shane says, screw it. You know, Baron, you want a match, you got it. And you can do the same angle, but you can elevate a Baron Corbin. And by the way, have Baron beat Shane with End of Days and not sell for him to put him over. And then fans are going to be like, this guy is for real. Some might argue with giving Baron that rub. I wouldn't. I mean, they've invested this much in him, and I like his character, and I think he's good enough in the ring for a guy his size. He can work the big man style. I wouldn't have a problem with that, because that'd be Shane elevating somebody. But Shane just wants, you know, Shane's just being put in with AJ. So Shane can have, what, another fantasy camp son of a promoter match with the best worker in the world who should be in there with somebody else who can actually have a good match and is a believable opponent. So
they know AJ's going to make him look good. He's not going to be any question about the match quality. The Baron Corbin match, I think that's a great idea. I just, they know it wouldn't be a great match at this point. So, I think that would be a great idea. One other quick point on the AJ thing. Now, obviously, wouldn't put it past WWE that the day after WrestleMania, Shane and AJ, big handshake, it's all forgiven. But to me, if you're going to attack your boss like that and then have a match with him and presumably beat him in the match, hopefully, God forbid, AJ loses, but you know, he goes over. Is it AJ's trade to Raw, do you think, would happen? Because it would be kind of hard to mend those fences, right, after this brutal beatdown and then possibly beating him at WrestleMania. Or do you think they'll just shake hands and forget that it happened and move on?
Oh, I think what we'll have is AJ saying, Shane is one, the Raw after Mania. Shane's one tough son of a bitch. Wow, he earned my respect.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be all about putting over how badass Shane is. I don't think. I mean, he might go to Raw, he might not, but the whole match is there to put over Shane.
True.
Yeah. I mean,
one last quick thing.
I don't want to fully prejudge. You know, I mean, maybe there's something they'll have something good planned, but I mean, that's my suspicion.
True.
Yeah.
Nah. No, you're probably right. I'd like to think for the best, but I think you're right. But one last quick thing, just on the WWE as a businessman yourself, doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense to me that they're giving away WrestleMania if people sign up for the network. Maybe your thoughts, just quick thoughts on that. I know it's kind of a post-SmackDown show, but every time they say, oh, you can get WrestleMania for free, it just kind of seems like that'd be the one time they could get $10 a month out of somebody. And they're just going to get a lot of people to, maybe they get a lot of viewership for that and they can point that out on their statements or something, but it just seems weird that they would give that one away for free.
Their calculation is, we want to get people on board when they're most excited about the product, and they're not likely. There's many are going to cancel, but some are not, and we're going to have a higher baseline core subscribership if we can get some people who are reluctant to go to the trouble of signing up to see how awesome the product is. And when they see how cool it is and all the archives and all the special features they've been missing out on. And now that they've gone to the trouble of jumping over that hurdle of having to type in your password, you know, your email and enter your credit card and deal with all that, you know, it's just a hassle for some people. And especially on a smart TV, you know, you got to click, click, click to each letter in the alphabet, or, you know, sync it up with your whatever. They just want to give people incentive who just are like, I'm fine without it. And they're like, but it's WrestleMania and it's free. They get them on board and maybe they stay a customer for life, you know, for a long time. It's fine. It's fine. But there is a big downside, and that's what you're referencing, Matt, which is it diminishes the idea that WrestleMania is this exclusive event. There was something 5 years, 16, 26, 32 years ago, all along the way, there was something kind of cool about WrestleMania. I mean, when I first saw WrestleMania 1, I went to the Carlton Celebrity Dinner Theater and saw it on closed-circuit television. It's on the site of an IHOP now across the street from Mall of America. They tore the thing down. Tons of big stars have been in that place, and they put up a big screen at the dinner theater, and I went and watched WrestleMania 1. I didn't have cable, didn't have pay-per-view, and I felt like I was seeing something that most of the world didn't get to see. And then for the big pay-per-views, you pay your $70-$80, you have friends come over, you go over to a friend's house, you feel like you're seeing something, like with a big boxing event. You're part of history, you get to see it live, see it happen, and it's an event. There is something that is being taken away when you hear the announcer say, and if you're a new subscriber, it's WrestleMania is free. You sort of feel less exclusive now. You know, it's the difference between going to a concert where it's sold out on the first day and going to a concert where they're handing you tickets out on the Vegas Strip to maybe, you know, fill up the arena so it looks respectable for the washed up act who's coming out, you know, to do his thing. I mean, you want it to feel exclusive. So I get the business decision. It's not without controversy, but it's also not completely foolish. It has worked. in that it's a good product. It's not snake oil. They're selling people a really good product. If you're into Mania and you want to see it for free, you're probably going to really like other things on the network and stick around because it's a great value. So I get why they do it, but yeah, I mean, some of that exclusiveness that used to come along with things, that feeling is taken away when they keep talking about it being free.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I thought. I pay $10 every month for the network. I think it's good value. So,
yeah,
when they say it's free all the time, it seems like they're really hurting for people to sign up, but.
Well, I
appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. I mean, they do want a lot more people. They want a lot more people to sign up than are. I mean, and that's, if they had, 2.5 million subscribers, which is where they'd want to be right now, or 2 million, and I don't think they'd be giving it away for free. There'd be so much money coming in, and it would be such a success. What they'd be doing is saying over 2 million people are going to be watching WrestleMania as paying customers. You can become one of them. Go spend $10. But they're not at that level that makes them comfortable. They're at a level below what they had forecast. So they're desperate to get those people in the door. And that's where the incentive is, to make WrestleMania seem like a really big deal program. All right, we'll do another segment with some more calls. So if you're on hold, stay on hold, and we'll be back right after this for the final run through on the program. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. I have a bone to pick with Canada. We expanded our Amazon program where you can support what we do here at the livecast by, when you shop at Amazon, going to pwtorch.com/Amazon. And we added some countries to the mix, including Canada. So we got the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, all on the program now. You click your country, you shop. Canada's getting crushed by the United States and the UK. So Canadian livecast subscribers, I'll give you all, and of course this means nothing, I can't imagine anyone caring about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I will give a shout out to Canada if in a few weeks Canada overtakes the UK and the United States on our Amazon commission program. So if that's the kind of silliness that inspires you, and this guilt trip doesn't turn you off, come on Canada, step up. When you're going to buy something on Amazon, think of us and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on that link to Canada, if you're from Canada, of course, and shop away. Everything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. Let's see if my friends to the north, and actually some of your friends to the south, because Minneapolis-St. Paul is so far north that, there's some big Canadian cities actually south of us, but we call them our friends to our north. Cause in fact, I was just like 30 miles away from Canada this weekend. I went up north and could smell the fresh Canadian air. Come on, Canada, step up. All right, let's get back to SmackDown. Let's go to Walter from Boston. You're up next. Thanks, Walter, for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Wade, how are you?
Doing well.
I've been a VIP member a long time, so anyone that's enjoying the show, definitely sign up. And if you have a little extra money, check out ProWrestling.net. Jason has a great site over there as well.
Jason does a great job.
Not to be contrarian, but everyone's been agreeing with you tonight. So
yes.
I just want to say, I want to speak about Miz and Cena. That's the reason I'm calling in tonight.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yep. We haven't talked enough about that.
No. But I completely disagree with you on two things. Just because Shane wears tennis shoes and is the son of the promoter, you know what? In the wrestling world, his personality gets over, and he does train and work hard to get in the ring. I understand he doesn't work, he doesn't go on the road, doesn't work dates and steals moves, whatnot. But in wrestling, he's over. People like him, like myself, I mark out when I hear his music. And The crowds are still popping for him. Yeah, it's not as big a pop as it was when he came back last year, but he's been gone for a long time. Still, though, I think he has a connection with fans and really good babyface. And also, I disagree with you that you think Sting doesn't belong in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, but that's a discussion for another time. The Miz tonight.
You can't say that and just move on. No, you can't. Go ahead.
This is the SmackDown post show, so let's focus on SmackDown.
I know. Good. Yeah. What did he ever do to earn it? I remember watching it.
I remember watching Miz on Real. I watched like 2 seasons of Real World, and one of the seasons I watched, Miz was on it. He was an ignorant, racist guy. Wanted to be a pro wrestler, and I cannot believe the transition he's made to today, where he is just the best heel in the company, I think. And I really feel like they're wasting two WrestleMania matches. And I don't know if it's a Cena vanity project, but to have this mixed tag match where you're wasting Cena and you're wasting Miz, it seems like a waste to me. So I was wondering your opinion on that.
You know, I don't have a rant in me on that. I'm actually more okay with it. I mean, I think Miz against Cena would be nice if, because Miz had such a great, you know, year and a half, however long it goes back to when he got hot again. He's been so good. I mean, yeah, I think Miz against Cena one-on-one with Maurice and Nikki at ringside would have been just fine. I think having Maurice and Nikki part of the match, WrestleMania eyes it a little bit. It takes it away from just, you know, being a match you might have seen on a SmackDown. They, for better or for worse, in some cases, sometimes it's not, it diminishes the match quality when they want. It's the argument you can make for Shane, you know, I mean, that you want WrestleMania to stand out as something different than another pay-per-view or what you might see on Raw or SmackDown. You know, that's why everyone on SmackDown gets a shot at the title at WrestleMania, because a one-on-one match won't feel special. And I think that's part of the rationale for doing the mixed tag match. And I mean, I think they did a nice job tonight. If I give a thumbs up to anything, I think they did a nice job with Maurice, you know, painting a pretty grim picture of Nikki Bella as a person. And then Nikki, actually, unlike John Cena, when Miz rips in him, rebutting her. And you can believe who you want, but if you're predisposed to like Nikki and think Maurice is not a good person, and certainly the narrative WWE lays out backs that up, you're more likely to believe Nikki. And so I thought that I think fans are going to want to see Nikki get their hands on Maurice after what she said and how they're acting. And I mean, it's fine. It's not a top main event match, but if the idea is, you know, for Cena to have a high profile marriage proposal and sell, I mean, Bruce talked about this on the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members this weekend, you know, but if they have if that leads to a wedding and this is, you know, a WrestleMania big setting with a longer term plan, and this is kind of the first chapter of it, I think we might look back and go, yeah, it made sense what they did. I mean, I hope Miz gets a boost from this so that he can be seen as a serious singles main event guy again. Because 3 years ago, I thought that ship had sailed, and it clearly is back in port. So hopefully that he can use this as a boost to that. I don't think the goal of WrestleMania should be to put all the best matches you can together. And that's the argument for Shane and AJ instead of AJ against somebody else. And it's the argument for a mixed tag match. It makes it feel more special and different. So I'm fine with it now. And I don't think that it's, you know, cheating us out of something that would have otherwise been WrestleMania worthy that comes to mind. Other than, you know, AJ and Cena having their blow-off match, they didn't have it at the Rumble. I guess I could throw that in there, but
I'd like to see the other caller brought it up, but I'd like to see Cena put over someone like Corbin. Who has talent but feels, you know, kind of like he's in a rut. So Cena has the capability of putting someone like that and moving him up the card a little bit. And this match, like I said, it feels like Nikki's going to retire because, you know, they're going to get married or whatnot. And, you know, it feels like, you know, this is one of the last years of Cena's prime. So it would be nice to see him do something different. But, okay, I can understand that.
And I like what you said real quick, Walter. I like what you said, Walter, about, you know, Baron Corbin. I just don't think this right now, I don't think he's ready yet I mean, it might just be SummerSlam. Sure. That'd be a good time. Maybe it's next year's WrestleMania. Although then you got to be talking Cena Reigns or Cena Taker probably at that point. But I get what you're saying. I just think if Baron Corbin struck me as someone who was really ready to make that next step, I would see this as a wasted opportunity. I'm not quite there with Baron Corbin, even though I consider myself an advocate for his push. And I think he has a good upside and can be a significant top tier player for years to come. I think it would be a little premature and might not have the effect that ideally you would want from it. So I just want to slip that in, but go ahead. It sounded like you were going to say something else.
Sure. But it's going to be premature until they give him the chance. I mean, he needs to be on the mic against Cena, you know,
yeah.
We just haven't seen if he has that ability yet. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. We'll find out in the future, I guess. Yeah. One other small point. It was a two-man announced team tonight, and I loved it. And I'm not a big fan of the two that were there, but wow, it was such an improvement over the four-man booth. So that was my final point on the show tonight.
Good point. I agree. I mean, I vote for.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. I'd vote for two-man booths. I think a three-man booth can work. Four-man booth is ridiculous, and actually, just kind of, I feel bad for Mauro having to sit there. And as that's going on, anyway, let's go to Ruben from California. Ruben J, welcome back.
Wade, how you doing? Thank you for welcoming me back.
Absolutely.
I had a question for you because this your hate on Shane sounds really personal. Did Shane do something to you that you didn't like or something? Because I don't understand your hate.
Well, first of all, the tongue's in the cheek a little bit in terms of how far I go with it. So there's a little bit of a I ham it up a little bit. But I mean, I genuinely first of all, no, he's never done anything personally to me. I think he's the good McMahon. So, no, I don't hear bad things about Shane. It's not like, you know, there's wrestlers who, you know, I hear that they're complete dicks to the flight attendants or the rental car agent or the servers at restaurants. And it's like, oh, God, you know, and it's, I'm not exactly rooting for them when I hear they're, you know, Shane's not one of those guys. So, no, not at all. It's 100,000% not personal, 100,000% purely the fact that he throws terrible punches, he steals everybody's moves, he gets to take all these daredevil chances, and he gets to do it against top-level opponents with a spotlight on him, and he doesn't have to then worry about what the ramifications are because he doesn't have to go on the road. He doesn't have to go to Raw and wrestle the 20-minute match the next night like Kevin Owens and AJ do. He doesn't have to go on the road the next weekend. He gets to glom everybody's moves, get the glory, play son of the promoter wrestler fantasy camp. Fact is there could be somebody way worse at it. Vince McMahon would not give Shane these spots if he wasn't, as Walter said, getting pops and the crowd didn't like him. He's absolutely earned a bond with the fans. I think the fans give him more slack than more love than they should, because I happen to believe that wrestlers who earn a spot on the roster who weren't born into the McMahon family deserve the type of time, energy, push that Shane gets. And I think all the energy that's put into Shane, while it's not a disaster, and clearly the crowd responds to him, it's a diminishing point probably right now, but maybe renewed after tonight's show, even with all our complaints about it. The time and energy put into Shane, I think if it were put into the last year and a half, Shinsuke Nakamura, instead of wrestling in front of 200 people at NXT spot shows and, you know, having a nice match here and there on a takeover special, if instead they just gave Shinsuke all this time, energy, and stardom, I think they'd be in a better place. You know, just as one example, I don't think Shane is this special talent who is where you're getting more out of pushing him than others. And I don't like it, the narrative structure of a guy who's not a wrestler holding his own against freaking Undertaker. I didn't like it. I was complaining about it with Kurt Angle. I wrote an editorial in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter after that match. You can go back and read it. I have been consistent in my views. It's absolutely not personal. It is just dismay over a non-wrestler like Shane running out there in tennis shoes and sweatpants, throwing terrible punches, selling awfully. I mean, he has been awful in terms of his selling, and going out there and getting to be son of promoter wrestler fantasy camp. It's just, it offends me. And I think it offends a lot of wrestlers who have to bite their tongue because they know they can't speak up about it. So, but again, everything I say is backed with a criticism of how Shane as a character fits into the narrative structure. and in a way that I think is detrimental and unfair, and it shouts privilege in a way that bugs me. So I rant about it. So, but that said, I mean, yes, I lay it on pretty thick, you know, for effect, and it is a little bit of a bit, even though it's based on a foundation of sincerity.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I did have a question, because I remember you speaking to, it might have been Bruce, or it might have just been a hotline that you did, where you basically said that AJ should go in there, forearm him, and hit him with the style clash, and it'd be over. You know, and that be the end of it. But, you know, my thought with that is that, you know, if that actually happened, don't you think that would diminish the Undertaker match that happened last year, that, you know, AJ was able to knock him out with one punch, but it took Shane jumping off the cage and going to the table for the Undertaker to be able to beat him. I felt like that, you know, your idea with that, you know, I know, and that might have been one of your tongue-in-cheek kind of comments, but, you know, I feel like, you know, if they do this match right, AJ has a really good chance of being pushed to that next level. Kind of like Austin McMahon, you know, was in the 90s.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
No, yeah, that's okay, cool. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Yes, if AJ just goes and is able to beat Shane the way that John Cena beat James Ellsworth last week, or AJ beat James Ellsworth in the blow-off match, it does make Undertaker look weak. I mean, they are in this now in a way where they have told the story that Shane is a credible, tough guy who can take a beating and manages to – he puts his body on the line and can dish it out, and that's his character. So, but I would say, I mean, again, am I being a little facetious? I don't know, maybe a little facetious in saying Shane should just hit him with a phenomenal form and pin him. But the part that I'm serious about is AJ Styles is a world championship level wrestler. Shane McMahon is a 47 or 48 year old guy who has never wrestled full time. He's never fought in MMA like Brock Lesnar. I mean, it's just like, it's preposterous. It was preposterous last year with Undertaker. It's preposterous this year with AJ. And what about all of AJ's opponents? You know, what about everybody? What about John Cena and everybody AJ's fought and gone to war with? What does it say that Shane is able to do the same thing? So, yeah, I mean, they're in a mess. To get out of it, I think they just have to have AJ, you know, be cocky and over the top confident, and it gives Shane an opening. I'm fascinated by what the crowd response is going to be. And, you know, they got 2 weeks to tell the story they want to tell. Do fans reject Shane in this spot because they love AJ? Do they kind of think, I'd rather see AJ against somebody who's, you know, an actual full-fledged full-time wrestler? Or do I like the novelty of this and I'm going to cheer Shane, because Styles, I mean, cuts a promo that makes me not see his side of things. I mean, tonight's promo with AJ seemed to back up, seemed to give his side of a story in a way where you're like nodding along. So I'm curious what they do the next 2 weeks. You know, do they actually go over the top, or people are just rolling their eyes at Shane getting the Eric Embry push? Go look it up on YouTube. You know, just look for a USWA Eric Embry segment, or the way Bill Watts pushed Eric Watts, although it never got to this point. I mean, there's all kinds of examples over the years, you know, the Von Erich boys being pushed by Fritz, and, you know, David and Chris being in a bad spot. I mean, there's just a long history of sons of promoters being over pushed and every generation rolling their eyes at it. Shane is not a full fledged wrestler like most of them. And in some ways that makes it worse. And in other ways it keeps him at least a special attraction who shows up in small doses with a storyline storyline backing the moment in time that he's you know, turning on the adrenaline and managing to hang with the top acts. But anyway, we'll end on that note. I've just passed the hour now. Well, you know what? Hold on, Darnell, you've been on hold forever. I'll make this quick. But go ahead, Darnell. Thanks for calling. What have you got for us? What have you got for me today?
Hey, Wade, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Yep, I had you marked down to go through for a while, and I just didn't get to you.
Thank you, man. I just wanted to ask you, I want to know if you think I'm just being just overanalyzing things, but I kind of had a problem. You know, I didn't see the angle. I didn't see the angle where they were inside the car and they threw Shane through. However, what I didn't like is that when AJ came out the locker room and Daniel met him there with the police, I thought he was going to have him arrested. And I felt like that it would have kind of made me feel like it would have made me feel like, oh, wow, he's really messed up now. Because not only is he fired, but now he's going to get arrested. I didn't think there was any point of having the police there if you weren't going to arrest him. Do you think that's just overanalyzing, or do you think that makes sense?
I don't think anybody should ever pre-apologize for overanalyzing. Promoters draw money in this industry because they analyze what they do, and they put it through the ringer, and they find out what makes sense and what'll draw money. The people who don't make money are the ones who don't analyze things. The people who don't process things. So I never accuse yourself or somebody else for overanalyzing anything. Just judge the foundation of their argument on whether it is a sound, well stated argument, and if their point would lead to, in your belief, a better show or better business, more money being drawn, that's not overanalyzing. I mean, sometimes it's just, you know, there's a pet peeve that somebody has. Even that, it's just like, as long as it's in context. So first things first, I have an aversion to the term overanalyzing. If something jumped out to you as stupid and you bring it up, you're not overanalyzing. You're reacting as a consumer to a product that wants money out of your wallet. And you have every right to react to it in that way. So, the security guys, the police, yeah, I mean, actually, I would have, again, looking at the show an hour and a half after it ended, having Daniel Bryan order the police to arrest AJ because throwing a guy through a windshield who just showed up blindsiding him, he's not a wrestler, and this, you know, and Bryan can say this isn't because it's a McMahon or it's my boss. You do this to anybody, you should go to jail. And just at that moment, have as the cops are dragging AJ away, have Shane run in, you know, all groggy, run up to Daniel Bryan and say, "Do not arrest him. Do not arrest him. I want him here because I'm about to walk out onto the stage and make an announcement, and I want him to be here to hear it. I have a different way to pay him back, you know." And then you can, so you kind of get both things. You get what he did was worthy of being arrested, but have Shane actually be the guy who calls it off. That happened all the time in a different way. The wrestling I grew up watching when I was a kid, you'd always have the Wally Carbo, he was the GM of the AWA, essentially. He'd come out, he'd threaten fines and suspensions, he'd suspend the heel, and then Greg Gagne or whomever, the babyface, would come out and go, "No, no, don't suspend him, Wally. I want him in the ring 2 weeks from now at the St. Paul Civic Center. I want him in the ring. Don't suspend him. Please let me just get my revenge on him in the ring." And Wally would go, "Are you sure?" So that's what they tried to reenact here. With Daniel Bryan sort of, but not really firing AJ, and then Shane making his announcement. But yeah, I mean, they could have had the twist on it. Could have been Daniel Bryan ordering the cops to arrest him, and then Shane saying, no, don't arrest him. I want him available at WrestleMania. So there's a way they could have made that work.
Definitely, because when you think about it, I was laughing because all the callers and everyone all night kept saying that Shane threw that Shane went through the windshield. And so I'm like, did he go through the windshield? And he just went through like the passenger window. So I was laughing all night, and I was like, did I miss something? And then I really just thought that, you know, as soon as I saw them in the frame, I thought for sure he was going to jail. I thought they were going to arrest him. And then I just like, get him out of here. And I'm just like, oh, really, guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could have done that. I mean, I don't think that's a huge factor in whether this worked or didn't work, but the way that they reacted to what happened relative to, I mean, last week they made a big deal out of what Baron Corbin did to Dean Ambrose, but they made a bigger deal out of what Daniel Bryan did to Shane, because Shane's not a wrestler. He's an executive who just showed up and was, you know, it was totally unsuspecting when it happened. But so you could justify, based on that framing of it, Daniel Bryan should have had AJ arrested.
Definitely.
All right, cool, Darnell. Thanks.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, that'll do it for me. If you're not a VIP member, this is a great time of year to go VIP. Let us earn your business going forward and dive on in. I mean, in 3 minutes from these words, you can be signed up It's $10 a month. You can go cheaper if you buy 3 months or 12 months at once. We give discounts for that. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. That the VIP membership includes all the live casts with the ads and plugs almost all taken out. So, I mean, whatever that is worth to you, that may be enough. But we also do the vast majority of our audio, believe it or not, just for VIP members. There's way more audio that we do throughout the week. The every single day weight color hotline. There are the post pay-per-view roundtables, retro radio shows, the John Arezzi Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show from the early 90s, a fascinating time capsule looking back at listening to a show like this. I'm on as a guest with John on a regular basis on these shows. So you can hear a younger version of me talking about young Undertaker just starting out, Ric Flair's prime. That's fascinating. But also, in addition to all the audio, and by the way, yes, it's accessible on iTunes and many popular podcast apps for iPhone and Android. You can subscribe just like you do to any other podcast. You just have to enter username and password, and you'll be prompted for that. And we have a tutorial to walk you through it if you're not real tech savvy as far as that goes. But it's super simple. And you also get access to nearly three decades of back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter. We just put out issue number 1,500 last week. Almost all of those are available online as soon as you go VIP and PDF and all text format. So you can read about your favorite wrestling events that you might have grown up watching, whether it was 2 years ago or 25 years ago. I have a report with star ratings, roundtable reviews, Bruce Mitchell's thoughts on those pay-per-views, along with other Torch staff members, Torch Talk interviews, insider interviews. Before there were an abundance of wrestlers speaking openly about wrestling on podcasts, there's really one place to go to get wrestlers talking on record about the inner workings of wrestling. And in the late 80s, into the 90s and beyond, it was Torch Talks. And the transcripts for those are published in the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter. Plus ad-free access to our website, a great ad-free mobile site that is a fantastic way to access all of our content. So check it out. Here are even more details on going VIP with a focus on those retro radio shows that I just spoke about. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. All right, thanks everybody. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. And you can also follow our brand at PW Torch. And follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. Go check out that breaking news tonight on Anderson Silva's next fight, a legend in MMA. And he's got another fight now scheduled for June. And you can check out details on that. We'll have analysis all week on that and many other things. We actually just ran some roundtables on Brock Lesnar's legacy and the highlights of his career. You can go check that out. Daily news updates, the Daily News Digest with the top story of the day, along with some analysis. And we've also got Fights to Make Next coming up tomorrow. We've got Frank Hyden's column with the highs and lows from the UFC card over this past weekend. And we've got daily trivia and so much more. Check it out if you're an MMA fan. Make it a daily part of your routine. Create a home screen button or a bookmark for MMATorch.com. Thanks, everybody. Great callers. Fun show. Fun to rant with everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow, midday, with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. Yeah.